Right, good morning, everybody. This is episode number 91 of the Sports Card Strategy Show. We do not have Paul or Kendall in the lounge today. Andy Kaysen's supposed to be joining me here in just a few minutes, but let's get the show started. We have Graybo's sponsoring the show. Graybo's Sports Cards is a local hobby shop owned by Gray Burnett, Ryan Fitz, and Duke, Denny One-Time Dodson, and is located in the Arts District of Richmond, Virginia. Graybo's sports the best selection of raw and graded singles in the Mid-Atlantic and a wide variety of wax. Listeners of Sports Card Strategy can receive a 10% discount on any purchase of graybos.com by entering the code STRATEGY2023. Graybo's now breaks on Drip app 5 nights a week, including baseball, basketball, football, and even wrestling breaks. If you use the link in our IG bio, you can get a $15 credit after your first purchase on Drip. You can follow all of Graybo's news updates on Instagram at Graybo's Cards. If you guys are interested in our getting unlimited personal advice, as long as you're a premium member, you can do that by emailing Paul at nooffseason.com. You can build your sports card investment portfolio and get a free 30-day trial at nooffseason.com. Again, email Paul at nooffseason.com. Most of the charts and graphs that we use here are going to be market movers. You can get a free 14-day trial plus 20% off for life using the code NOOFFSEASON. All right, let's get into the show here, guys. Andy Kaysen's supposed to be joining me. For those that are not aware, Kendall was also supposed to be on this show, and he is going to see the ultrasound of his 20-week baby. So that's very exciting for Kendall. Paul is on vacation, and hopefully Andy will be joining me here real soon. If you are coming to the National, Thursday night, July 27th at 7 p.m., at Crust Brewing, which is just about a mile or two from the where the National is, RSVP at nooffseason.com, and Graybo's is sponsoring a little get-together with some drinks and some hors d'oeuvres. We'd love to meet everybody at the card show and at Crust Brewing. You'll get a drink ticket and some appetizers courtesy of Graybo's. RSVP at nooffseason.com. All right. Let's see. Who do we got here in the chat? We've got good morning, Brian Steelers 714. He's saying good morning to Paul and Kendall if you guys are listening. Janelle Shu, first time joining the stream. Thanks, Janelle, for joining. Glad to have you. Ben Deuce, good morning. Mr. Ryan Baruski and his sidecar is here with us. Looking forward to meeting you, Ryan, at the show. Evan Bell, top of the morning. Cleo Cards, good morning. Paul Buckeye Dill, good morning, sports card strategist. And we have a Facebook user. Hey, that's Kendall. Kendall's joining in. Good morning. He is here and he is texting Andy. Hopefully we'll have Andy joining us here shortly. So good morning to all of you guys. We're going to get right into the show here. And hopefully we will get, Andy to join me. If not, we are going to, get right into the L of the week. So, my L of the week this week is that there's no Paul, no Lefty, and so far we have no Andy either. So that is my L of the week. Let's see here. So we've got last fall, I was betting on Trey Mann. I thought he was going to have a good season. Gary from Hoops and Cards and I were talking a little bit. Gary kind of liked him. I liked him. So I went out and I bought a couple of low-end, an orange laser, Donruss, and a green laser. Picked them up pretty cheap, had them graded. They came out PSA 9s, which was not exactly what I was hoping for. I was hoping to get PSA 10s. Anyways, I had about $60 invested in the cards, and I sold them this weekend. I finally decided to cut my losses, even though it's looking like he might have a good year again this year. I sold one for $7 and one for $10, so that's about a $45 loss after shipping. So that was not the look we're going for here. We're trying to get some W's, not some L's here. Let's see here. If I believe that, let's see here. If we do, we got any comments coming in? Baptism by fire. You got that right. Thanks, Ryan. It's a lot easier if you got somebody to talk to, so feel free to chime in, guys. I'll answer any questions that you got. I don't know if the plan was for an overflow show this week or not, but since I'm riding solo, I will get you some personal advice right here on the show. For my W of the week, let's do W of the week while we're waiting for Andy to come in here. W of the week. I was swinging and missing a lot lately. We've talked about one of the ways that I enjoy making my money the most is by buying lots off of Facebook Marketplace. I have not had very good success at that lately. More and more people are doing it, so it seems like I'm a little bit slower to the punch. I haven't been able to get to one where either I've gone to them and they didn't make sense and I couldn't make any money on it, so I passed on it, or I was like, you know, 2 minutes too late and ended up missing out on it. But over the weekend, I have to go pick it up on my lunch hour here today. I was able to put together a deal. Hopefully, I'll have some of the cards on the show and tell. Some of them are going to be for my PC, and some will be for flipping, but I was pretty excited. I got some pretty nice cards, and I was able, the gentleman was nice, was good to work with, and I got them for considerably less than an eBay comp, so I'm real happy about that. The other win of the week that I wanted to talk about was Roman Anthony. Lefty texted me last week when Roman Anthony was getting some love. He's been absolutely mashing the baseball down in single A for the Boston Red Sox. And he just recently last week was starting to get a little bit of media buzz. And that was my buy of the week. I've been talking about for the last 2 weeks on the show. Roman Anthony actually got moved up by MLB.com's top 100. He got moved up to number 9. He is now one spot ahead of his teammate, Marcel Meyer. So that it was huge news. And so Lefty was on the text message going, "Hey, buy Roman Anthony, buy Roman Anthony." And I said, "Hey, I just got my 20 cards. I bought a lot." So if you guys haven't done it, hop on the Roman Anthony train. It's coming down the tracks. The other thing I forgot, we'll back up to the L of the week, was we talked about, we did the gauntlet last week, and I slaughtered the guy's name and called him Alcatraz. But Alcaraz, there's light number one for those of you that are listening and not watching. Kendall, that one was for you, the first light switch going off. But anyways, Alcaraz won Wimbledon, and Paul called it. Paul and Lefty were giving me crap because I called him Alcatraz, and I thought Aaron Rodgers' card should have beat the Alcaraz card. So props to Paul, if you're listening. You were right on the Alcaraz, I believe is how you pronounce it, for the tennis player. But that was a good call and an L on my part because I didn't know who he was. Let's get to some more comments here. We've got Rocky Empire. Good morning, everybody. Hope great weekends for all. Mark, so hate to dwell on your L, but you just auctioned those cards instead of at least a $15 eBay now. Yeah, so Mark, I actually did buy it nows. I do the reverse, like a Dutch auction type buy it nows, where I start at one price and I keep dropping them until they sell. So it was actually a buy it now of $10 and $7. They were not auctions. Good morning, Evan Bell. With Dwayne Wade's induction next month, have you been buying any of his cards? No, I've got a fairly large Dwayne Wade collection in my PC. Lately, the last year or two, like for example, last year, you did not see a big spike with Dirk Nowitzki cards. I think the market that we're in right now is, you're not seeing the huge fluctuations from an induction like that. I think, especially with Dwayne Wade being, everybody kind of assumed Dwayne Wade was going to be a Hall of Famer. So I don't think that is going to move his cards much. For the long term, Evan, I think long term that is good, but not for a short term flip. Ryan, I don't have an eBay store to this point. What are the advantages to having a store? Is it worth adding the investment? You know, that's a great question. I did not have an eBay store for several years. And I'm still working out to see. The advantages are you get a little bit of a discount on seller fees, and they also give you a credit, a $25 credit every quarter to buy supplies. So I have not had to really pay much for my eBay envelopes, my padded envelopes that I send out. So that is a slight advantage there. I think you have to be a fairly large store. You know, I'm doing several hundred transactions per month. I believe I'm 300 to 500 transactions a month. So when you get to that point, the store is advantageous. If you're just going to be running a store and you're going to sell 20 or 30 cards a month, it probably doesn't make sense. But I think that's a great question. So let's get into who I am buying. So this is going to be a little bit longer list since I'm the only one on here. I normally only give one play and then I make you guys go check out my premium articles. But since I am flying solo today on episode 91, we are going to give you a few more nuggets. So Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp is one of the guys I am buying. Last year, he had a down year, and with Matt Stafford coming back this year, I believe they're saying that Stafford looks really good in training camp. You're going to see Cooper Kupp come back strong, I believe. He fell off the radar last year because he didn't have anybody to throw him the ball. When you have a Pro Bowl caliber, Super Bowl winning quarterback like Matthew Stafford, you're going to see a lot more Cooper Kupp. He's going to get back to the 100-plus reception range. I don't think the Rams are going to be very good this year, but I do think that you are going to see him return to prominence this year. So I am buying some Cooper Kupp. Jameson Williams. Paul, this one is for you if you're listening. Jameson Williams is a wide receiver that has all the tools. He's physically gifted. He's super fast. He's got great hands. He plays in a good system in Detroit. We got to see a little bit last year when his first catch went for 60-some yards and a touchdown. He once again is out for the first, I think it's 4 to 6 games this year. So there's still an opportunity to buy him, but I believe that he is going to have a good year for Detroit, and I think the sky is the limit for where Jameson Williams could go. Alexander Mattison was in an article that I wrote for Low Floor, High Ceiling. Alexander Mattison with no Dalvin Cook in his way. If he can stay healthy, Alexander Mattison, I think, is a 1,000-plus yard rusher, probably 8 to 12 touchdowns. He's going to catch a few for another 3 to 5 touchdowns. You could see him have a 1,500 yards to 2,000 yards from scrimmage with 12 to 15 touchdowns. And for those that people that don't know him, his card prices, I think, will or should go up based on that, as long as he's healthy. Another one I want to talk about is Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley has been out of football for almost 2 years. He looked great. He was an up-and-comer for the Atlanta Falcons, kind of fell out of grace, had personal issues, was betting on football, got suspended. He signed with the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's an intriguing matchup with Trevor Lawrence. That offense looked great last year. The addition of Calvin Ridley to that lineup, I think if Ridley hasn't lost the step, he's a Pro Bowl type wide receiver. He could have a monster year and his cards could go absolutely crazy. If you've heard me talk in previous episodes, I talked about, I believe Russell Wilson is going to be a buy this year. I think he's going to be a bounce back, possibly comeback player of the year this year for the NFL. One of his wide receivers last year, I think, really hurt not having him was Tim Patrick. Tim Patrick is back and healthy. I think that the Sean Payton, adding him to the mix, Russell Wilson another year at Denver, and now Tim Patrick coming back. I think Tim Patrick could be another player that has a very low floor, high ceiling. His cards are super cheap right now. Kadarius Toney, he's getting a lot of buzz. His stuff is starting to go up. I just recently bought a rookie ticket auto of his a few weeks ago. I bought it for like $25, and I watched one last night sell for almost $50. So his stuff is on the rise. He's getting a lot of buzz. He's, of course, in the big red machine with Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Looks like he has the possibility to be a number one target this year. So Kadarius Toney's another one. And then for basketball, I absolutely love Anfernee Simons. I am actively looking for some Anfernee Simons cards. And it looks like not if, but when Damian Lillard gets traded with Scoot Henderson coming aboard, that's going to clear the way for Anfernee Simons to absolutely ball out. He had a breakout year a little bit last year. I think with Damian out of the way, you could see a rise similar to Mikal Bridges when he went to the Nets. I think you're going to hear a lot of people talking about Anfernee Simons. So he's another one that I'm high on. Mark, rookie question, but everyone keeps saying list your football cards in August before the season. Do you list them as buy it now to ensure profit or risk with auctions? That is the million-dollar question, Mark. Paul, if he was here, Paul lists everything at auction. I prefer to list everything in what I call a Dutch-style buy it now. I list them early. Like, I'm going to be listing all my football cards probably this week and next week to make sure that I get them out there a little bit before everybody else's. I'm going to list them a little bit higher than what the current comps are, anticipating that they're going to get hot going into the season. And then by the second week of August, I'll start lowering the prices a little bit each week in hopes to make sure that they are gone by the first week of September, when the season starts. So I don't know as though there's a right or wrong answer. I prefer buy it now, starting a little bit high, starting a little bit early, and then working my way down. So great question. Evan, I'd advise against it. I'd sell 20 to 25 cards a month and thought it'd be worth it. Definitely not worth it. I believe Evan's referring to the question about the eBay store. So yes, Evan, I agree with you. If you're only selling 20 to 25 cards a month, it probably does not make sense. And Ryan is there. Hey, good morning, Andy.
Hey, good morning, Chad. I guess it's better late than never. Hopefully that's the way you guys perceive it. I'm so sorry that I am running late today. The morning kind of got hectic and it got away from me before I knew it. It's 8:15. I look at my phone and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know. And
no, so no problem. I'm just going through some listeners' questions in the comments, and then we'll get. I've already done my L, my W, and who I'm buying, so we're going to circle back to you here once we make it through the comments. But thanks for joining.
Awesome. Yeah, man. Awesome. I am ready to go. I am pumped up. The National just a week and a half away. Training camps. It is really exciting right now.
Buckeye Dill bought 3-card James lot, James Wood lot, and it's been over a week since he's paid and nothing shipped yet. Message a seller 3 times and no response. Is it okay to initiate a cancel order? It is okay to initial a cancel order on eBay. If it's not a real big, like 3-card James Woodlot, it's probably, you know, under $20, I'm guessing. So if you wanted to wait a little bit and see if the guy, sometimes people don't put that they go on vacations. If you wanted to wait a few days, I don't think you're going to be out a ton of money. You can always cancel the order, but absolutely you can put in for a cancel on that, Paul. Mark, Andy was up late drafting on Underdog. Laugh out loud.
I definitely was. Actually, I was doing an Underdog draft last night, like around close to midnight. Definitely was.
That's awesome. Mark's got Andy nailed here. On a limited budget under $100 and not quite skilled enough to pick out raw cards online, would you suggest one higher end PSA 10, a Prism or Optic, or several mid low end select mosaics? Janelle, so I'm assuming you're asking, since you're not good at picking out, you're asking about $100 budget for PSA 10s. Andy, I'll let you answer this. Would you prefer to go with a select mosaic PSA 10 and get a couple of cards, or would you rather go for one higher end Prism or Optic card for $100 in a PSA 10?
Well, I do look at it this way. If I find a select and mosaic PSA 10 around that $20 to $30 price point, I mean, that is very appealing, because I have seen plenty of people, especially if it's a premium player, spend $50, $60 on a whim for just the PSA 10 slab, really. I mean, it could be like one of those mid-tier sets, like a select or mosaic. Now, typically, what I will look for over a select and mosaic is a base Donruss rated rookie. Like, I look at that, because you'll typically find the most sold volume in the graded card market for those base Donruss rated rookies. And that rated rookie logo does hold a lot of weight, you know, even long term. So it's like, I think I look for that over those. But then I think that makes sense, $20 to $30 PSA 10 just for the grade.
Yeah, I agree, Janelle. I think Andy's spot on here. It depends on who you're buying, but if you can get some lower end, I just wrote an article last week on nooffseason.com with low floor, high ceiling type players, like an Alexander Mattison, for example, a Kadarius Toney, you know, guys that this year look like they could have breakout years. You can get their cards relatively inexpensively yet. You could probably get a PSA 10 Donruss rated rookie Kadarius Toney or Alexander Mattison or a Jameson Williams from, you know, Detroit. You could probably get all three of those guys for $100 in a PSA 10. That sound about right, Andy? You know, if you wanted, and then if those guys do explode this year, within the first, you know, half of the season, those cards could easily double in value.
Yeah, I love that, because if you're not going to go the route of targeting something ultra rare, or even just like middle of the road type of rare, like a rookie ticket auto or maybe an optic rookie auto that's serial numbered out of 199 or something, then I absolutely do advocate for targeting PSA 10s of base Donruss rated rookies, or even optic rated rookies, base Prism rookies, that kind of thing, to differentiate the card in the market and make it more appealing and desirable you know, to hobbyists, whether they're an investor, flipper, or collector.
All right. That sounds, she said that answers her second question as well. All right, Janelle, thanks for being a first-time joint viewer and asking questions. That's great to have you. All right, Andy, let's get into, we're going to work this backwards. I just did who we're buying. Who I was buying was Cooper Kupp, Jameson Williams, Alexander Mattison, Calvin Ridley, Tim Patrick, Kadarius Toney, and Anfernee Simons. Because Paul and Kendall and you weren't here, I gave the guys several buys instead of my normal one or two, trying to use up some time here. So who is Andy buying?
No, solid list, man. I've actually made a couple hedge bets off of some of the ones that you've mentioned. So Alexander Mattison, I definitely think he's going to see the volume, and his efficiency has been decent. So it'll be interesting to see, because that's a high octane offense with a lot of red zone opportunities and such. So I think he definitely pays off his current value with a little bit of upside. I like hedging my bets on Alexander Mattison with a Ty Chandler, who's a second year player with that runs a very fast 40-yard dash. He's got really good speed, so he kind of checks that box. And then you could also look at the rookie, Dwayne McBride. One of those guys are going to emerge as a more or less a 50% workload split with Alexander Mattison and get quite a bit of opportunity in that same offense. So for the same reasons why we like him, I think it makes sense to look at two of those guys, because they're also very young. So they drive that fear of missing out type of thing that drives of prices pretty high in the hobby. And then for the Jags, I love the Jags. You know, you saw Evan Engram just got his contract extension that he wanted. This is a team that's primed for a playoff run this year in the AFC South. They're looking really good now, the second year with head coach Doug Peterson. So, yeah, I think Calvin Ridley makes a lot of sense. He's still going back to 2020, really the last time that he played a full season. He had elite numbers in terms of separation when it comes to winning against man coverage, press man coverage, double coverage. Calvin Ridley is an incredible route runner, great wide receiver. The thing that's interesting, and it's different than quarterback, but he has only played four or five games in the past, you know, 2 years. So we'll see how rusty he is, like how good he can get back to form. And I like Christian Kirk there as a hedge. To if you're betting on Calvin Ridley, go ahead and compare him directly to the prices of Christian Kirk in the same draft class, with Christian Kirk being a 1,000-yard receiver. He's also got a top 10, like he's got like a top 10 wide receiver contract. Like he's one of the top 10 highest paid wide receivers in the league. He's also a great separator, especially deep and stuff. And we know the Jags want to play aggressive. They're going to definitely take shots. Trevor Lawrence showed that last year. So I think you could hedge that with some Christian Kirk plays, and you probably get spike weeks from both of those guys, and they'll both kind of work out for you there. So I like some of those plays, Chad. For me right now, a big play, the guy that I've been buying over the weekend last week, is J.K. Dobbins, running back for the Baltimore Ravens. This is a very exciting offense to target this year, Chad, because they bring in offensive coordinator Ted Monken, who is, you know, former coach for the University of Georgia. And so you have a championship winning college football team. He's also previous coordinator for the Cleveland Browns, a year in which Nick Chubb smashed, you know, for almost 2,000 yards. And I look at this offense as throwing a lot more for Lamar Jackson. You know, they bring in Odell Beckham, they draft Zay Flowers. So they have added additional premium wide receivers to their group, their pass catching group. And Lamar Jackson has said several times this offense is going to be way more creative. It's going to be a lot more passing volume for him. And so, yes, he's still going to run less Lamar Jackson, but it's not going to be as much. They're going to try and keep him healthy. They're going to try and throw the ball more, and it's going to be a lot more volume for J.K. Dobbins, and passing volume. If you go back to J.K. Dobbins' rookie year, he had an elite efficiency. You're talking about, you know, evaded tackles, yards created after the line of scrimmage. This guy is incredible. He runs a sub 4.4. He's got elite height adjusted speed, and his time in college as well, he was just a monster. So J.K. Dobbins, and you can find some very cheap. Like I was able to snipe a rookie ticket auto for $15 from 2020. That's incredible. Go and compare that to Jonathan Taylor. It's probably, you know, his are back up now, close to $100 card. I also was able to snipe a National Treasures out of 25 rookie auto for J.K. Dobbins for $60. So the value is there right now for him. So he's a massive buy for me.
Yeah, I like J.K. Dobbins as well. The injury bug with him being in a running back position worries me a little bit, but I do agree. I think with all the weapons they're bringing in and the coordinator, they are going to be a run first, pass second, but offense, you know, Chubb didn't have that year by accident with him as coordinator. So I do agree with you on that. Barusky here, I put up Andy sounds like he should be on NFL Live on ESPN. So maybe there's a future for you there. Andy Barusky will put in. And our boy, Mr. Shoes is in the house. We were worried a little bit that Shoes was going to miss this show. Thought maybe he and you were doing a fantasy draft together or something, but let's circle back and do you have an L and a W of the week as well that you want to share with us?
Yeah, you know, so this is perfect timing for this live stream because we're coming off the back of breaking NFL news yesterday. DeAndre Hopkins is expected to go to the Tennessee Titans. And yeah. I got this news and I'm like, okay, DeAndre Hopkins officially hates me, you know, because I've been, not only do I have a healthy stock of Treylon Burks rookie autos, who is going to have a massive role this year for the Tennessee Titans, and he's still okay because he's a first round draft talent and he's only heading in, you know, to his third year. So it's like he's still okay. So I'm very bullish on him second year, and I'm very bullish on him long term, and DeAndre Hopkins on a 2-year deal. But I wanted him to go to the Patriots so that Mac Jones cards would spike, because Mac Jones cards comparative to the rest of the 2021 quarterback class were very low. They're so appetizing, and there's still upside for Mac Jones to go out and actually overperform this year and exceed expectations, but especially with Bill O'Brien, but not the preseason spike I was hoping to get from DeAndre Hopkins signing to the New England Patriots. So that's my L. I don't see that spike coming now for Mac Jones in the preseason like it would have. Like we're seeing increased sold volume in Tannehill, Ryan Tannehill. So if you had bought Ryan Tannehill, you're seeing an increased sold volume in him, and obviously his expectations are going to rise heading into the season, which is going to lead to some increased demand for his rookie cards and some increased sale prices. And now he adds an incredible way. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins showed to be very good last year, and he's far from, you know, being a retirement age, and defenders are giving him the largest average cushion in the NFL. So they're respecting him and his route running ability. And he's going to be a possession style receiver. So he's going to get, you know, those 10 targets per game. And so I think that's kind of an L for me this week is Mac Jones. I just have to temper my expectations and hope for a, you know, what's interesting that it leaves me promise for Mac Jones is that this is a contract year for him. So they're going to, I think, throw the ball a ton. It's not going to be, you know, Bill O'Brien was the offensive coordinator for the Patriots going back to 2011. He was a quarterback's coach there. He got promoted to offensive coordinator. So he has like 4 or 5 year history with the Patriots. And Tom Brady threw for 5,300 yards the year that he was the offensive coordinator in 2011. I don't think you're going to see that 600 pass attempt season from Mac Jones, but I think it's going to be pretty healthy. They're also in the incredibly stacked division that just now added Aaron Rodgers. So you are going to see a ton of passing volume from Mac, and that's going to lead to a lot of opportunities for him to exceed expectations, maybe just by numbers and efficiency alone. He can exceed expectations and drive some additional demand for his rookie cards.
Yeah, after your show last week, I dug out my Mac Joneses, and I thought, you know what? They were in my to give away box, and I pulled them back out because I thought, man, Andy might be onto something there, and they're going to go back in the giveaway box. But Yeah, I thought that might be your L of the week. Do you have a W of the week?
Yeah. So let's see. Let me tab over here to my eBay selling real quick. And see. Yeah, I think, obviously Jalen Hurts' market continues to appreciate. And Devonta Smith is a guy that previously was, there was a little pocket where Devonta Smith was going undervalued about 2 months ago. And that has vanished. I mean, there were some opportunities to buy Devonta Smith rookie ticket autos and such for around $30. Those cards have all gone up to that $55, $60 range. Mm-hmm. So that's a big win because he was a guy I was targeting heavily and wrote up and everything a couple months back. There's a little pocket to target him. And he was incredible, and a lot of people doubted him because of his size, even though he won the Heisman Trophy in college, which is very rare for a wide receiver to do. And according to Reception Perception, he was elite on the outside in beating man coverage, press man coverage, zone coverage. His success rate was incredible. And he's proven that as an individual player, he can just absolutely dominate. And what's so cool is that AJ Brown is also top five in the NFL in terms of success rate against man coverage, press man coverage, and double coverage. And he gets double covered at a pretty decent rate too. So you look at that and it's just like, man, it goes back to Jalen Hurts. I mean, we're set up for an MVP season here with the Eagles. And if there was any undervalued pieces on that offense you could target, right now I'd say it's Kenneth Gainwell at this point, but still you got to be happy if you're holding Jalen Hurts. I had a couple nice Jalen Hurts sales and Devonta Smith as well. So
curious to get your take on this because nobody else seems to agree with me, so I'll see if you do. I'm not so sure that Swift is an upgrade over Sanders on the backfield. I know maybe from a pass catching standpoint, but with Swift's durability issues, I thought Sanders turned out to be a pretty doggone good running back that they just didn't utilize until last year. They finally utilized him. The year before, I had him in fantasy, and I was like, come on, run the ball. The guy's averaging 6 yards a carry. Give him the ball. You know, last year, they finally realized that they needed him for this offense. But is to you, do you think that Swift is a – I'm not so sure that that's an upgrade at running back. What are your thoughts of Swift versus Sanders?
Yeah, I'm not convinced that Swift's a running an upgrade over Sanders. They have about the same speed. The issue with Swift is his work ethic and his durability. It's going to be tough to project him to start a full season. It's also going to be tough to project him to carry anything over 100 carries. Like, he gets hurt, you know. And in terms of efficiency, they're about the same between him and Sanders. You know, DeAndre Swift is more explosive in the passing game, you could say. But Kenneth Gainwell has been incredible in the passing game as well, even going back to his time at Memphis. I mean, he was an incredible receiver with a 15% target share. He's also taken a ton of receptions from Jalen Hurts. He's also never had a, knock on wood, injury in the NFL, so he's been incredibly durable. He's the guy that shows up early to camp, stays late, does whatever it takes. He's super tough, and I am investing in him because I also look at it in, like, in the card market, Chad. You get a little bit of a bonus, I feel, when you can get a player's rookie card in that team's uniform that they're on. Yeah. You know, so like there's a clash there getting DeAndre Swift Lions rookies and now he's on the Eagles. There's a little bit of a clash there and he's not, I think, elite enough. The upside's there, but man, it's going to be really tough for me to shell out any significant dollars in Swift with his history. He's one of the most fragile running backs at this point in the NFL. And so is Rashad Penny. Like, I think that he's rumored that he's not even going to be healthy for training camp. So I'm looking at Kenneth Gainwell, like, that's the guy I want to target.
Yeah, that's good stuff. All right. Who we're selling? Let's get into who we're selling. I'll go first. I am selling Chet Holmgren. He has looked good in summer camp for the NBA. His stuff, his Silver Prism, for example, it's only a pop 35. And this is why I'm selling. So this is economics 101 here, people. It's up 67% in the last 30 days because he's healthy. He's playing well in the summer league. Attention is coming back to Chet Holmgren. It's up $185. His PSA 10 silver is going for $460. It's only a pop 35. Now that he's playing well, how many people do you think have silver Chet Holmgrens that are firing off to PSA? How many? This pop 35 is probably going to be a pop 100 by the time the season starts. And when it goes from pop 35 to pop 100, what does the market have to do to sustain that $400 value? It has to 3X, right? I don't believe that his market's going to 3X. So that $460 value right now, I could see that even if he continues to play well, I could see that cutting in half by the start of the NBA season. So you got to be careful with these cards that are a year and two old with pop counts. When somebody gets hot, everybody sends them in and those pop counts rise pretty rapidly. And that then in turn floods the market and drives the prices down. So who are you selling, Andy?
Yeah, I love it. I definitely think there's some players right now that are trading for a lot of money that kind of scare me. I look at Josh Jacobs as a primary sell target right now. He's not at the age apex or at the 10,000 carry marker where we have data that shows running back production and efficiency falls off. So from that standpoint, he's good, like as a singular player. Nothing on his athletic profile pops off. He's just been incredibly efficient, including being the NFL's, you know, leading rusher last year. So, but I am not bullish on the Raiders at all. It's an incredibly tough division, the AFC West, that just got harder, you know, with Sean Payton coming to Denver. You expect a bounce back season from them. The Chiefs are the Chiefs, and the Chargers now get Kellen Moore plus Quentin Johnson and a healthy Justin Herbert. So once again, the Chargers are going to be a force to be reckoned with as well. And the Raiders are definitely the odd man out in this division. So pieces on the Raiders, like if you look at 2019 rookie auto values and rare card values of Josh Jacobs, they are trading for a significant amount of money, Chad. I think this is a great opportunity for you to go ahead and move a guy like this coming off of the rushing leader season. To move him only if you wanted to, if you're really like, maybe you're a super collector or maybe you believe in him long term. Well, buy back in November when the team is like, you know, 3-7, and you know, buy back in then whenever the season is struggling. Plus you have the fragility at the running back position, and he didn't miss any games last year, but he has missed games in every season before that. So I just think that when you've got that much profit, especially in a running back like this, I would definitely sell him.
Yeah, that's great. Josh Jacobs is I sold off all of my Josh Jacobs last year with the year that he was having. However, Josh Jacobs is a guy I just genuinely like. When you hear him talk, his loyalty to the Raiders when they were, you know, all that turbulence was going on, and you know, are you going to demand your way out? And, you know, he basically said, no, I'm a Raider as long as they'll have me. And then he does a lot of the stuff off season with kids. And he's just a stand-up guy. I really like Josh Jacobs, but I agree with Andy. Take advantage and sell now, because that running back position, man, it's hard to hold running back cards. I actually like collecting running backs after they retire, because then they can't get hurt anymore. So I've had good success with collecting the Barry Sanders, the Emmett Smiths, the Walter Paytons of the world. Generally, right after they retire, they see a little spike. And then until they get inducted into the Hall of Fame, those next 3 to 5 years is a lull, and their cards drop. So for my personal collection, I like waiting until after they retire. No more injury concerns. You know, you've got a pretty good shot at if they're going to make Hall of Fame or not. So that's great insight by Andy.
One more for you, Chad.
Yeah.
I got one more, like, key, because he's not a running back, but he sure as heck plays a lot like a running back, and that's Deebo Samuel for the San Francisco 49ers. He's 28 this year, so it's not like he's super old or anything, but if you look at his injury history as well, he has missed games every season since 2019. He's also a 2019 rookie that has rookie ticket autos, base variation rookie ticket autos going for over $100. He's got incredible value. And he's not the leading wide receiver on this team. The best wide receiver on this team is Brandon Ayuk. And Deebo Samuel had a ton of success on screen routes, flats routes. They're all very short in-breaking and out-breaking routes. That's where he has his success, or he's taking handoffs. And so, yeah, he is a leading yards created, like broken tackle guy, yards after catch guy whenever he gets the ball in his hands. But that also just skyrockets his injury risk. And that's the way they use him. They use him in the backfield. They use him on these screens. And he just takes a lot more hits, a big beating. He took some really scary hits last year. And with this San Francisco team, they're going to have to start getting a little bit more aggressive as, you know, maybe you have the Rams with that healthy Matt Stafford and Cooper Kupp coming back this year. You have the Seahawks who continue to get better. Now, second year, Geno Smith. I mean, they're in a really good spot this year. Of course, the Cardinals are in total rebuild mode. But you just look at the strength of the schedule for the 49ers is pretty hard. They got a pretty difficult schedule just the way they've performed over the past few years. And Deebo Samuel, with such a high fragility rating around him and with the values that he's currently going for, is just great. It's just really high. So I think you've got a ton of profit in Deebo, especially if you bought him before last season or maybe you held him for a year. So I look at him as another guy that you could sell right now with pretty high level of confidence.
Let's stick with the 49ers here for a minute and pluck Andy's football brain. Quarterback situation in San Francisco. How does this play out?
It's Brock Purdy. Right now, he is on track to apparently start week one. I think ultimately, because Kyle Shanahan is such a control freak, I mean, he's got a very close oversight to what's going on in practice. And as they get the pads on here in a couple weeks, and they start playing against the first team offense, against the first team defense, if his accuracy is not there and Sam Darnold looks that much better than him, or Trey Lance looks that much better than both of them, I think they'll give one of those guys a shot in the preseason and see how they can do in a preseason game. There's going to be a lot of pressure there on them to perform, to win a job week one. But Brock Purdy is the leader in the clubhouse. They've got the confidence in him. I mean, his numbers down the stretch last year were incredible. I mean, not just rookie quarterbacks, but all quarterbacks. I mean, he was in a top five in accuracy and efficiency and EPA, you know, basically how well he was doing on every play compared to his peers and how he was adding value to the team. It was wild. So he is definitely their starter if he's healthy. I think it just comes down to, can he throw the ball just like he did last year? Because I think his mental sharpness and his decision-making ability and ability to quickly read the defense is going to be there. But can that elbow hold up? Is that elbow good to go? I think that's the big question. But I think right now all the signs and news are tracking towards yes. Maybe you've seen a steady increase in Brock Purdy, and he's super hot in the hobby because of his Cinderella story from last year. But maybe you see an even more of an increase when we get to training camp. We start getting these videos and Brock Purdy's, you know, making these touchdown passes to Brandon Ayuk and some of these other guys.
Yeah. So what do we do with our Trey Lance cards? If you have them, obviously hold, because they have very little value right now, but is there a sneaky play? Does he, if Brock Purdy this year does ball out like he did last year, the Niners have no reason to hang on to him, right? You would think that he would be a good trade candidate. Is there a sneaky play with Lance, or is his career over?
No, I think he definitely has a sneaky play. I think people will definitely get that fear of missing out element if Trey Lance were to get a starting job somewhere. I look at so let's take the Falcons, for example. Super run-heavy offense, you know, spend all this money in the weapons and the offensive line and now Bijan Robinson and And Arthur Smith just loves, they were the most run heavy team in the league last year. And they have this, you know, running type of quarterback, but Desmond Ritter's not, he's fast, but he's not really like a runner. I could see if he tanks, like if Desmond Ritter turns out to be terrible and he can't even, you know, just execute at a mediocre level to be able to manage this offense that is just dialed in for him, then I could see them trading for a guy like Trey Lance. I could absolutely see them trading for a guy like Trey Lance, and because they're not going to expect much from him. They're going to expect a few passes and the mobility and the rushing. So it's like, you know, I could see him going to a spot like that. I think he's a hold, man. I think he's a hold because of the draft capital, number three overall pick, because of the elite, you know, what we call Konami code, being able to rush and throw the ball. There is definitely upside there. The problem with Trey Lance, from what we've seen, is he's not been ready for the speed of the NFL. He's not been ready to make good decisions under pressure whenever the defense is bearing down on him, and he scrambles and holds onto the ball too long and takes big risks, and ultimately has led to a couple injuries. So sample size is still very small, but you put him in a run first system. And that's why he was succeeding in San Francisco in a small sample, because of that run first system. And I think he could go to another situation similar to that and be successful. People would get excited about him. And so that makes him a hold.
Yeah. So you brought up Robinson's name, and he's a name, he's a high draft choice. So he's not really sneaky, but with what Atlanta did for Cordarrelle Patterson's career, you know, he basically was a throwaway special teams player, ends up in Atlanta and turns into a 1,000-yard rusher. I'm excited about what this Robinson can do. I think there's a chance that Robinson at the end of the year, if Atlanta has any resemblance of offense at all, I think you could see Robinson challenging potentially for the rushing title this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely the upside. I mean, he's one of the highest touted running back prospects to come out of college since Adrian Peterson, and Atlanta has a top 10 offensive line with the second easiest schedule in the NFL this year. So from those things, and then you look at them also being the most run heavy team last year, you could easily project Bijan Robinson to get 300 carries. Now, I will say that Tyler Allgeier was solid. Tyler Allgeier ranked in the teens, like between 13 and 17, and a lot of efficiency metrics, yards created, yards per run. And so he was solid last year. I think he's still going to be a component. You still have Cordarrelle Patterson on this team. He's probably going to function a lot more as a receiver, maybe more of a gadget player, that you get him in the screens and the flats and get the ball in his hands. I do see them giving Bijan at least 250 carries. As being the number eight overall draft pick, I see them really setting up the run and trying to help Desmond Ritter and make things easy for him. I will say, though, like right now, Bijan Robinson's values, especially compared to a guy like Jahmyr Gibbs, who goes four picks behind him to an even more explosive offense that is very exciting, and the Detroit Lions, his like Bowman Chrome first rookie autos, for example, or even the new college ticket autos that are just coming out, going for $200 for Bijan Robinson, pretty much in a base format, you know, and that same card is like $50 or $40 for Jahmyr Gibbs. So you can absolutely see these incredible values in Bijan Robinson, and it's almost like he's a perfect guy to flip heading into right. The season, only because you have additional product being released over the course of the season that all feature him in pro uniforms. And then you also have him just on the Falcons, and they could exceed expectations in betting markets and actually be a playoff contender because the NFC South is so soft. But at the same time, you get so much value. If you're ripping a Bijan Robinson rookie auto out of a pack, I think it'd be crazy not to sell it, honestly.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Got a question from Janelle for you. Love to hear your thoughts on Will Levis. Picked up a Bowman U first refractor PSA 10 for $30 with plans to hold it until he starts Concerned this card will drop when licensed cards are released.
Yeah. I mean, so let's – I had some people ask me about Malik Willis too. And the Titans moved up in the second round of the draft this year to get Will Levis. So they like him. They have a lot of hope in him. Ryan Tannehill is 35 years old and is coming off of an injury-riddled season. So with foot and ankle issues, Ryan Tannehill has had a lot of injuries in the past. If he's healthy, he's going to be their starter just with the experience. He's solid. They also run the ball a lot. Derrick Henry is still kicking it out there. But Will Levis is absolutely going to be the main backup, and he does have a lot of promise with his arm strength, his zip on the ball. So I think that when he gets that starting opportunity, whenever that comes, maybe it's on a Ryan Tannehill injury, or maybe – I mean, there is a scenario where Ryan Tannehill plays so bad that they bench him and put in Will Levis to see what they've got in the rookie. You gotta give the guy actual NFL playing time to evaluate him. At that point, that's when you want to have that card listed on like a Bowman U type situation to take that profit in the card while all the pro uniform cards are coming out. The most likely scenario, Chad, I think, is a play on Will Levis heading into like October, November. The Titans, I think, are in a challenging spot for them at this point. The schedule is not too easy. The defense has gotten a little worse. The offensive line is in the bottom of the league. You got Derrick Henry getting up there in age. I do see this, you know, even with adding DeAndre Hopkins, I see it's like as a last ditch attempt to try and be competitive and become contenders out of the AFC. But the AFC is so loaded, man. And now the Jaguars are going to be really good this year, at least on paper. And so I gotta think that the play on Will Levis is going to be like October, November timeframe. But definitely he's a hold right now if you've got him.
All right. Brian Steeler, 714, need help. What card would you rather have? PSA 9 Ellie First Bowman Purple Auto or PSA 9 2017 Bowman Mega Shohei Ohtani Purple, both out of 250. This is an easy one, Brian Steeler, 714. Shohei Ohtani is going to be a legend in the baseball world for decades to come. He is doing things that Babe Ruth only dreamed of doing. They keep comparing him to Babe Ruth, but Babe Ruth didn't accomplish what Shohei Ohtani is accomplishing. And if the rumors are true and he does get traded to a team like possibly the Yankees, I saw a lot of Yankee chatter over the weekend, and he gets a $1 billion contract, which will also be a first of its kind. There's no comparison which card I'd rather have. Ellie De La Cruz right now is the latest and greatest shiny new toy in baseball. I love watching Ellie De La Cruz. He's electric, but he's not going to have the staying power or the legacy that Shohei Ohtani is going to have. So I'd go the Ohtani for sure. Shoes just got back from the Dallas show. Can't wait for a show and tell, Shoes, to see what you picked up there. Let's see here. Shoes is still laying in bed watching the show. We appreciate that, Shoes. So, Andy, is there anything else that that you wanted to bring any nuggets of information to the we had the who would you rather, because we had the gauntlet. I don't know if you submitted a gauntlet play or not, but I didn't get it. And with just the two of us, we won't go down that road. However, I guess I could ask you, because it was football related, for my gauntlet. We could have a one person gauntlet here. So the cards I picked out were two Hall of Fame legend running back, Barry Sanders, Emmitt Smith, not rookie cards. I picked out their kabooms. One is a 2020, one is a 2021. PSA 10s, they're both Pop 1. They're both SSP kaboom cards. They both currently sell for $550. So values are equal. Legendary running backs in themselves. They're both pop ones. Who would you rather?
Man, I got to go with Barry Sanders. I mean, he's just the most electric running back that I've ever watched. I mean, his ability to break tackles, especially at his size, it's insane. His highlight film, you could just watch over and over and over again. It's so sick.
For those that aren't old enough to have seen Barry Sanders, he played on an awful, and I mean awful, Detroit Lions team, and yet still broke records and was the top running back. And I mean, in fantasy football, number one overall pick year after year because of how awesome he was. He was a lot of fun to watch. So it's scary. I was wanted to see if you'd go with the all-time great rushing leader in Emmitt Smith or Barry. So that's interesting. You went with Barry.
Yeah, I was definitely a Cowboys fan growing up in my childhood. The Bucs were really bad. So, like, I was a Cowboys fan outside of the Bucs just because of prime time and everything. I was more of a fan of Deion Sanders on the Cowboys. But, you know, I always felt like Emmitt Smith did have a lot of success because of the quality of offensive line and the supporting cast there in Dallas. I thought he was good, but I never thought he was like elite like Barry Sanders. Like watching Barry Sanders play is just another level. I mean, it's just mind-blowing how good he was and at his size. And the thing is, the guy is still very affable. He's still very relevant in media. He's probably going to be at the National. I mean, this is a guy that goes to a lot of shows. He does a lot of events for fans and stuff. And I hear he's a very nice guy in person. So I think that goes a long way too from a financial aspect of owning his stuff, because he's very popular in our hobby and our circles. So yeah, definitely going with Barry Sanders there.
And from what I understand from looking at the backs of his football cards, he's about the size of Paul, right? He's like 5'7" or something like that.
Oh, I've never met Paul. I thought Paul was like 6'2". I had no clue.
No, I haven't met Paul in person either, so I'm looking to do it next week at the National, but everybody tells me that Paul's like 5'7", 5'6", something like that. Paul told me, he said, don't be shocked when you see me. I'm not as big as you think I am. So I'm looking forward to the National next week. Take another question here, Ryan. What percentage over comps? I think Andy does the same thing I do on eBay, where I kind of do a reverse Dutch auction. I'll list a little bit above comps. Like we were talking before you get on, Andy, I'm going to start listing my football cards this weekend and next week, cause I want to be one of the first ones to the market, and I'll probably 20 to 25% over current comps because, I'm early, you know, and I believe that they're, typically, you see it spike around the National in the first couple of weeks after the National. So I want to get my cards listed prior to the National. But I'll go 20 to 25% over, and then by middle of August, I'll start lowering them every week. I'll loan $5 or $10 until they sell, hoping that they're gone by the first week of September when the season starts. I think listening to you in the past, you kind of do a similar strategy, Andy. Is that true?
Yeah, I love that approach, like a, you know, general strategy of 20-25%. And yeah, it is important to keep your eye on it and see how much over comps you are like heading into the season. Some windows you don't necessarily want to miss out on, right? Some of these guys right. We talked about. So you want to kind of take that profit. But I think that's a great general strategy. And it is tough because every player's situation is different. You know, and then you have the thousands of different cards you could potentially own for that player. So every card, really, you have to kind of take it as a case by case scenario. Some of the more rare stuff, like if you had a gold shimmer, for example, I bought a gold shimmer Jerome Ford on the Cleveland Browns. I'm probably going to list that like at $100 or something. I bought that card for $15. So, you know, I don't know. So you have to take like, you know, everything, on a case-by-case basis, but at the same time, like a general speaking, if you had like a base Donruss PSA 10 or maybe just like a base rookie ticket auto, yeah, I think the 20 to 25% over comps current comps is a great strategy, especially for a player that's got a lot of transaction volume, relevant. You can kind of get a good idea of where what their peak is and what their floor is. And that way you can, you know, and a great way to do this is look at a guy that's hyped up in their draft class and look at a guy that is, you know, all the way at the bottom. It's like, it'd be like looking at Trey Lance or Zach Wilson compared to Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields, and kind of somewhere in there is where you want to price your card. I think it's important to do that for every draft class, every player that you have, and try and find something in there that's comparable in scarcity. And it's easy to do it the same year. I think you can do this, Chad, different draft classes from different years, similar players, but you have to find something that's similar in scarcity. And you may even have to find something that's a little bit more rare from 2021, 2022, or even 2020, because of how much the production from Panini ramped up after 2020.
Yeah. All right. Well, that sounds good. Is anything else that you've got for the listeners?
Well, let's see. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much flag plant season for me. So I'm picking my guys, taking stands. I'll be releasing a series of videos with my must-own players for quarterback, wide receiver, running back. That list has already been published over to our premium members through our patreon.com/footballcards platform. We do a lot of stuff over there. Like, we're doing early week, like auction sniper, backstage videos and stuff. And we got a lot going on. We just did a hobby box break last night for Chronicles draft picks. I will say, keep an eye on the release schedule. It has moved around a little bit, but you've got Chronicles draft picks that was just released. It is a nice set. We pulled a nice college ticket. Let's see. I got them right here. We pulled a nice college ticket, Jahmyr Gibbs. We also pulled in Origins sticker auto, Roschon Johnson. That is a book in as well, 125 out of 125. This was a nice hobby box rip. We also got a Bryce Young blue optic rated rookie prism in there. These cards are doing really well in the market right now, and this box only costs $150 right now, and you guaranteed four autographs. So I think, wow, if you're looking for a product to rip that's got a lot of hype, you know, for the incoming rookie class, it's this one, because the next one is Donruss Elite, and that's been pushed back to the end of August now. Last time I looked at it last week, it's been pushed back to the end of August, so you have more of a runway for this Chronicles draft picks product, and I think it's going to do quite well here in the next month.
We have Paul chiming in. He must be listening on vacation wherever he is. Yes, I will be there at the show. He is 5'6", 135, and he personally knows Barry Sanders. How cool is that?
Wow.
So I guess being in the Detroit media for all those years when he worked for the Pistons, he must have gotten to know Barry, so that's pretty cool. He says, great job, Chad and Andy. One last question here before we sign off. What do you do about non-payers on eBay? Had a select Trey Young sell three times in the last 3 weeks, but they're always non-paying accounts. Can eBay ban these users? You know, that's Shane. Thanks for the question. That sucks. It's part of eBay, unfortunately. eBay has rolled out a program. It's kind of in a pilot where, at least on Buy It Nows, if you click the Buy It Now, it's paid immediately. With the auctions, they're still not there yet, but they're starting to dip their toes into getting more immediate pay. They know it's a problem. In the meantime, that's really all you can do. I don't know, Andy, how you have it, but I do get that occasionally where somebody doesn't pay, and I give them the 3 days, and if they don't pay, I cancel it, refund it, and relist it.
Yeah, I think that's the important thing, is give them the time. It sucks because you may miss a potential window. So that's the worst, when you're in a small window to sell and you miss that because of a non-payer. But typically you want to give them the time so that you can cancel it the right way, to where you can report them as a non-payer. If they have enough of those, they will get banned, suspended from eBay. I've seen that happen. And then We have a thread in our Discord server, which is also through our Patreon membership, but we have a thread that's called eBay buyers and sellers to avoid. And so anytime we run into a non-payer like that, we post them up in there. I think it's one of those things that I think it's important to have, like, maybe you guys do it through your Facebook group or whatever, but get part of a thread or a discussion around buyers to avoid. I mean, it is tough, but yeah. Somehow like a running list. It would be nice if that was like published, you know, on a general eBay blog or something, you know,
yeah, right.
Like a list of everybody that's been flagged for non-paying. So if you just cross, you know, do a control F and see if your buyer's on that list. And if he is, then you just move on. So sorry.
Yeah, that's great. All right. Well, thanks everybody for joining us this week. I'm looking forward to seeing many of you at the National next week. I will be there on Thursday with my two sons as a spectator, and then Friday all day at the booth. Stop by and join us. Andy, do you have a booth there as well?
No booth. I'm hoping to find, I think, yeah, Paul told me that you guys have like a partial table there. And so I was going to stop by and chat with you guys for sure. I do not have a booth, so I'm going to be mobile, man.
All right. Well, that sounds good. I look forward to meeting you next week. And for Andy and I, thanks everybody for watching. Let's cue the rock.